F2A. Number 11B.
Law and dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He said, I'm dead to the law. I have destroyed that law of the works by deeds within me. I'm dead to the old law. Because I'm dead to the old law, I live unto God. I live in the new faith. That's my standpoint. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. See, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Now, Jesus was crucified because he didn't obey the law of the Jews. So they crucified him. Because he said, what you say, that you are the Son of God, it goes against the Jewish law, so we crucify you. Well, Paul did the same. He said, I'm not more going to live according to the laws of the Jews, so I'm crucified with Christ too. Nevertheless, just as Jesus lived after the crucifixion, nevertheless, I live, because he lives now another law. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And you see now, it says no more the law lives in me, now the Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He shows that though he is still in the flesh, I live according to that inner law of the Christ. I live the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. He didn't put away the grace of God. He didn't throw away the grace of God. I say, I take it. And the grace of God said to Paul, you don't have to live according to the law of bondage. You are set free by the law of the Christ. And he said, I'm not going to throw away grace. That I'm not going to do. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Said, if really righteousness came through the Jewish law, then the whole life of Jesus is in vain, then the crucifixion was in vain, everything would have been in vain. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Now comes that well-known passage, O ye foolish Galatians. What has bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth, so that they should suddenly not accept the new message, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? He says, and when I came to Galatia, did you receive the message by the Spirit, or by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the faith? He asked him that question. Say, was it really that made you a Christian? Was it the law, or was it the Christ? 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? He says, are you so foolish? You received the whole grace through the Spirit. And now, are you so foolish that you throw away that grace and that you try now to be saved by the flesh, by circumcision? Have you suffered so many things in vain? Was everything in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He said, you have seen me what I do. Did I do the works and the works and miracles? Did I do that because I obeyed the law? Or did I do that through the Spirit, through the doctrine of Christ, by hearing the faith? Constantly, can you see, constantly, since we have the break, He constantly challenges on a very simple issue. Can we gain life by circumcision? And can't we get life without circumcision? Or do we get life by the faith in Christ? Constantly that is under consideration. So he goes now further and brings another example to bring home to them how foolish they are, how they not even know the Old Testament, how they not even their scriptures, because he's going to show them now that actually the Old Testament is built on faith and not on the law, and that the promise of Abraham was by faith and not by the law, that the law came much, much later. So he begins, takes up again that question, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see, he says, Abraham was already accounted to be a righteous man because he had faith in God and has faith in the promise. Exactly that, how Romans started and said, we are righteous before God. We are always righteous before God. We don't have first to work up to that righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. He says, those are God's children that are of faith. Whereas the Jews said, we are of God's children when we are circumcised. That makes us God's children. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Can you see what he says? It's not always easy to read the Paul. I made quite an interesting experience in this way. I was studying, as you know, for 2 or 3 years the prophets and got used to the prophetic language. And then when I did all the prophets and have written the books on the prophets, then I turned to the epistles. It took me quite a while to be able to understand Paul's language, because it's so different. And therefore, also here, it seems so complicated sometimes the way Paul writes. What he writes here is very simple. He says, look here, Abraham got a promise from God that his seed will be the seed of all nations, and through him all nations will be blessed. That was the promise. And he believed it. He had faith. So Paul says, you see, the children of Abraham are all those who believe. And there was no mentioning of obeying a law, because the law didn't exist at that point. So the seed of Abraham are actually those who believe. And he said, and it was said to Abraham that in thee shall all nations be blessed, not the Jewish nation, all nations. Therefore the Gentiles are just as much blessed as are the Jews. And now you, Peter, you come along and want to tell me something else. Though you have shake hands with me up in Jerusalem and said, yes, we have two different missions, you go to the circumcised and I, Paul, go to the uncircumcised, and now you come down and make trouble again. So he said, that's not what the Old Testament said. The Old Testament already said, you live by faith. You live by the faith of Abraham, and Abraham's children, seed, that's all the nations, and not just the Jewish nations. We come to 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Can you see, he repeats and repeats just as I do it. Huh? But always using different symbols, different references. Now he suddenly goes back to the Old Testament. No more to Abraham as substantiating and sustaining his theory. Now he goes back to Habakkuk, because Habakkuk, you know, has said, the just shall live by faith. That's in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. And that is, if you remember last year, that was the turning point in the prophecy of Habakkuk. That up to that point where he said that, Habakkuk was saying, well, I can't quite see that God is almighty, because I only see that the enemies of Judah are always victorious, and they come in and rob our lands and devastate our land and take away our cattle and fruits and harvest. I can't see really that God is almighty, that he is a mightier power. And then when he had questioned all that, you remember that then he turned and he went on the tower and looked out from the tower. He looked out from a higher point of view. And then he could see what he said, the just shall live by faith. And then he shows how that changes the whole situation. So here too, he goes back to the Old Testament, you see, and tries to substantiate his doctrine through the Old Testament. Whereas the Jew too, they were always relied on Moses, on the Old Testament. But they never really went far back enough. Namely, Moses came after Abraham, and Moses gave the law after Abraham had received his promise. We'll see that as we go along, that he is telling us that. So, again, at the end of verse 11, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. You see, in a single sentence, he again brings up the whole situation, the whole argument, huh? Law and faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. The man that doeth according to his faith, he shall live. Like Habakkuk has said, the just shall live by faith. And we go further. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now the tree was always a symbol for the cross, or the cross a symbol for the tree. Jesus was hanged on the tree, on the cross, and that was always a sign that that man was cursed forever. If according to the Jewish law, that was a sign that he was cursed forever. But Paul could see that he was not cursed forever, but that he lived. And so he could see that constantly, and constantly says, well, if that is the law, then 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Says, we get the promise, but we get it not through the law. The law may curse us and they hang us on the tree, on the cross. But we get it from a source that is much more fundamental, not from Moses, but from Abraham. And so we live by the promise. You see, when it is said that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, that it was always referring to the promise that Abraham got, that God promised Abraham that he will be the father of the multitude, and that in him, in his seed, all nations should be blessed. So he said, we got that promise and we live now by that promise. Yes. So that is the end here, I think, where Paul ends that constant repetition, between having life through the law or having life through the Christ. That was the issue. Do we live by faith or do we live by the law? As simple as that. But you know how it is. Simple scientific spiritual statements are so simple and are so deep that nobody can understand it. If one presents something simple, nobody can understand it. It's too simple. One must always present something very simple in a very complicated way, and then we have a chance that they get it. It's not the other way around. See, usually you hear the other way around, that people say, can't you state it more simply? Why is it so complicated? Can't you say it simply? Yes, I can, but it doesn't hit, doesn't really get in, it doesn't sink in. And Paul knew that, and everybody knows that, that one has to present something first through a lot of symbolism, through a lot of examples usually. People come along and say, well, you have presented this and this. This is too difficult. I can't understand it. Could you give me an example? Because they learn much easier through an example. That's why Jesus taught through parables and examples. And here, again, we can see such an incident with Paul, that what he says, one could put really in a few verses, the whole gospel, but he could see, now I have to substantiate what I say from various angles. So what was the issue? The issue was, are we really living by obedience to the law, or are we really living through faith? That's the issue. So the issue is life. From where do we get life? From where do we draw our life? Do we draw life from the law, the works of the law, or do we draw our life from faith in the Christ? That's the issue. And in order to present that to those narrow-minded Jewish Christian there, he had to say, I tell you a lot of examples. I tell you the examples of Peter. He really obeyed the Christ when he was alone. But when he was not alone, he was fearful what the other directors would tell him, and that perhaps they would excommunicate him or put him out of the board. So he was afraid, and he went right back to the law. He said, well, Peter, you did something wrong. And he said to Peter, look here, don't you know the Old Testament? Don't you know? Haven't you done your homework? Haven't you read about Abraham? That Abraham lived by faith, by the promise, and he got the promise. And did you know that that promise was that it would bless all nations, not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles? And he would go and take up another example and say, well, don't you remember Habakkuk? Did you ever read the prophets? Haven't you done your homework? You read in the prophets, and the prophets also say, and the prophets came after the law. And the prophets say the same thing. Habakkuk said the same thing. And he shall, and the just shall live by faith, and not by the law. Can you see, he just takes 3-4 examples to bring out always the same thing. Very simple. Something very simple. So what we do with an epitome is to bring out that simple statement. So how does that epitome read here in the epistle book? We have page 93. On the bottom of the page we have life, so we epitomize it like this, that through faith in the all-sufficiency of Christ, life manifests itself as the all-sufficiency of life in and of spirit. The other, the opposite would be that this frees us from the supposed necessity of a life based on the works of the law. That's his crucifixion. So can you see in it, you have the tone of life, that we live really the life in and of spirit, and not of circumcision, which was of the flesh. Therefore, that frees us from the belief that we live by life in and of matter, by life in and of the flesh. Now, this is what Mrs. Eddy has seen. She always said that the revelation came at the point of spirit and life, where she could see that life is in and of spirit, in and of spirit. That was her big point at the point when it was revealed to her. Here it is the same thing, what Paul has seen. Yes. Well, okay, we have another 7 minutes or so. So let's start with the tone of truth. I can't finish the tone of truth, but at least we can start out and we see a completely different aspect again. It says in 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man is annulleth or addeth thereto. So he says, more or less, now I'm going to tell you really what man is and what the covenant about man is. And he shows it now again by going back to the Old Testament. He starts out, now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. We knew that from the preceding subject. He says, not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. See, that's how Paul reasons. He was in advance of his age, in interpreting the Old Testament naturally. He would take the symbols of the Old Testament, sorry. Did I say it right before? Of the Old Testament, huh? He took the symbols of the Old Testament and translated them into spiritual symbols, whereas the Jewish religion did take the Old Testament symbols and took them as reality. So for the Old Testament, the seed of Abraham were people, and now Paul comes and says, that seed is not people. That seed is the Christ. That seed is the Christ. He could overform, so to say, man to the Christ man. He could overform that. He could say, now really that which makes us man is actually the Christ consciousness that makes us man, and not the seed of Abraham as such, as a material symbol. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of no non-effect. Yeah, did you get that too? He said, Abraham had the covenant. That covenant is that his seed is the Christ, that it has the seed within itself, and that is the Christ. Only 430 years later came Moses, and he gave the commandments. He gave the law. Now, could Moses, giving the law, annul what God had promised before? what God has said before. And he said, no, that cannot be annulled. When God has spoken, he has spoken, and that's true. And so he says that we are still under the promise of Abraham, namely that we are his seed. And that seed is the Christ. That's where Paul always had a trick. Huh? And he didn't say, well, Abraham was a mortal and his seeds are a lot of mortals. He said, no, Abraham was perhaps a mortal, but he had faith, and that's not mortal. He could see that therefore any other commandment that was established afterwards could not annul the primal promise. And therefore, you understand now, 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is none more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. You see that? Again, we can say, now he comes to the point of truth here, why it is quite a different subject. Now he shows, what are we? What is the man's covenant? What are we? What kind of a covenant has man? Man has, you see, that started out in 15 like that. Huh? That's why it's sometimes difficult to understand. In 15 it said, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, now it's not man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. And what is now that covenant of man? Namely, that we are the heir of Abraham, but of Abraham's spiritual seed, namely the heir of the Christ. That's our inheritance. That's why he had to first translate that seed into a spiritual symbol and says, actually, that's the Christ. Namely, Abraham had a Christ consciousness, or he would never have been able to go through all those tribulations with just faith in the promise. Therefore, he could say, therefore, man has the inheritance of the Christ. Is the Christ man. And that where now all the inheritance comes in, which we'll take this afternoon.